Well, this morning we're being joined by Dr. Doreen Dodgen-McGee. She is an author and psychologist, and will be presenting a program that will be available at the Atlantic Public Library coming up on February the 10th. Dr. Dodgen-McGee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I understand this is all kind of based off a book here that you have recently released with that same title there, Restart, Designing a Healthy Post-Pandemic Life. I guess you want to give us a little bit of a brief overview introduction to what your books is all about.
Well, thank you. I would love to. Early on in the pandemic, I was helping a couple of different groups of folks stay connected via Zoom and in order to be able to support each other, a group of moms in Chicago, and some other folks associated with COVID Survivors for Change who were trying to get through this time and had lost loved ones to COVID. And I began seeing how this time of real isolation was going to impact all of us psychologically. At the same time, I was hearing my clients talk about what things like doing school from home was meaning for their family lives or how their children were struggling with the unknowns. And it began to hit me that in many ways, the research I had done for my first book, which was about the way in which we are using technology and the way in which it enhances our life, but also has some detrimental effects on us, kind of brought us to quarantine and the pandemic, bereft of the very skills that would have helped us thrive during isolation. And so I began really thinking about this and talking with a lot of folks around the country and decided to put as much kind of information and then helpful tips as I could into this book to help people become aware of a little bit, give them a vocabulary for what they've just gone through and how it might impact our kind of restart in the world, or what I'm thinking of as a big opportunity for a do-over. and then also address some of the habits that we put into place to get us through this time, which may not actually help us thrive in the long run. And so it's packed with a lot of information about how we can rethink some of the behavioral things we put in place to get us through, but that might not serve us going forward.
Yeah, and obviously everybody's going to have a different perspective and a different experience depending on where they are at or what happened to them here during this time. Like you said, if someone has lost a loved one, certainly that's a lot more traumatic than, you know, just the everyday things that some of us had to experience, just the change of lifestyle
right. Stuff.
But everybody's going to have that different outcome on the other side. And so I suppose you're dealing with a pretty wide spectrum of things to work on.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I really address in the book and that I'm hoping to get to talk to as many people as I can about is the fact that we all live from the perspective of or looking through the lens of a single story. And each one of us experienced a single story of COVID. And now as we come back together, we're seeing that these stories are radically different. And if we don't approach each other with massive amounts of empathy and understanding and a willingness to learn and to hear about what other people have gone through, we will only face coming back together with kind of high amounts of conflict and unrest. And that will not help in this time when we're all going to need to really work together to co-create a new healthy reality.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting that you mentioned some of your other work talking about our relationship with technology and how that kind of ends up being a double type whammy, I guess, in a scenario like this. You know, we go into a time where a lot of us spend a lot of time, you know, alone or at home or isolated from others, and you turn to some of those maybe bad habits even more that you had before with the use of technology and just, staring at a screen and whatnot. But on the other side of that, it was technology that maybe helped a lot of folks too and be able to connect with things like Zoom that became such a, you know, vital tool of staying connected with people at the same time. So that's a pretty interesting, I guess, correlation on both sides of that.
It really is. It saved us in so many ways, and I am so grateful for it for that reason, and grateful for technology for many reasons. And we also have to understand that our real deep dive into immersing ourselves into mostly only screen-based stimulation, entertainment, kind of almost we used it for self-soothing when we felt a lot of big feelings related to being stuck inside or the things going on in our country. And that's where I think a few small pieces of information from the research can really help us figure out, okay, so what about our technologies is helpful and helping us move forward in healthy ways? And then what are the ways in which we've used it that may be impairing our ability to focus or our ability to be present to our embodied lives or to the people who share physical space with us? And it really is just a few small tweaks that once we become aware of the need to make them, making them can really set a trajectory toward greater health.
Obviously, that's probably one of the things that you're talking about before when you're talking about the bad habits that we developed here during this time. But what are some of the other things that you're specifically going to speak on and talk about with, you know, kind of those habits that we need to get rid of once we move on?
Yeah, so some of the habits some of them are so benign, things like not getting fully dressed, you know, which has been a great thing. But then also to things like migrating all of our communication to online spaces, you know, to digital forms, and that is kind of robbing, especially children and anybody dealing with social anxiety, that's probably amplifying their social anxiety or their difficulty in communicating. So moving some of our communication back to, at the very minimum, voice to ear, and if we can, to some in-person kinds of conversational spaces. That's a big one. Also talking about how we have compensated for having a lack of stimulation in our lives by increasing our use of things like substances, you know, either whether that be caffeine or alcohol or whatever it may be, but we're using substances in different ways that may not have a healthy trajectory for the long run, just because we've had such limited access to experiences that can make us feel different. So those are a few examples of non-tech-based ones that, and there are a few others that we can really just take a non-shaming look at and see what we might be able to, where we can make small shifts that will really impact us in the long run.
Yeah, I think one thing that I have kind of observed with people I know, you know, a varying degree of, you know, concern from folks about, you know, what they can go out and feel safe doing. You know, we're still kind of in a weird, you know, limbo time where there's still a lot going on around us and we're still trying to be safe and protect ourselves in some regards. But we're also kind of a lot of people that are maybe getting over a little bit of that and being more willing to just kind of jump back more into some of those public settings. I guess, what do you think is going to be some of the keys to, I guess, getting past that thought? You know, we do feel like it's safe on a health and medical front, you know, there's still going to be kind of that mindset stuck in some folks. How do they get over that?
Yeah, it's really a big issue. And the first thing I would say is that I am observing a dynamic happening at this point in the pandemic where people are feeling exhausted. There's a phenomenon in the research, if you look at research around other situations where people have had to be isolated, like subarctic research centers or space travel, space research, where a person, when they know that they're about three quarters of the way through their time of isolation, they hit what researchers call the third quarter phenomenon that makes them kind of agitated and somewhat anxious. And it also makes them really look and tend to be a little bit irritable to the outside world. And I'm really seeing that irritability right now where people who feel safe about going out are also kind of finding themselves being sort of judgmental about people who aren't feeling safe yet. Mm-hmm. And it's creating some real conflict and a real unique kind of conflict in this time. So the first thing I'd say is go at your own pace. And if you find yourself feeling really irritated about other people's lack of willingness to try things, that could be related to their own self, and that needs to get to be theirs. So try to focus on what you can control and what you, of course, keeping in mind the things we need to do to stay safe until we're really through the woods with this. But the other thing I would do is to say to take, to really do a risk analysis, you know, so think about if, am I putting others at risk, at undue risk, or am I really just, you know, in going and eating outside at a restaurant? Yeah, that feels uncomfortable to me, but it feels like a safe risk where I'm not, you know, putting someone else in harm's way, and trying to take little baby steps to reacclimate ourselves to some sense of kind of communal life again, because we can, yes, as it becomes safe, it will hurt us to live in fear and live in isolation longer than we need to.
Yeah, certainly. Well, the opportunity to hear more here from Dr. Doreen Dodgen McGee will be coming up at the Atlantic Public Library on Thursday, February the 10th. That'll be at 7 p.m. There's opportunity there to come to the library to watch there as a group there, or you can also join online, and there is a link that you'll be able to find, and we'll post that with this here as well with the podcast of the interview. So you can check that out. Dr. Dodgen McGee, if folks want to check out the book, where do they track you down?
Oh, you can find me on my website, which is DoreenDM.com, so DoreenDM.com, or the book is available at, you can order it through your local bookseller or in online bookstores as well.
All right. Well, folks, I'm sure are looking forward to having the discussion and hearing from you and some of your ideas and thoughts, and we appreciate you taking some time to talk with us here this morning.
So grateful. Thank you so much for the opportunity.